those who did not leave would be arrested. A few packed up their belongings and left. Those who didn't were arrested. The move came after numerous eviction notices and a two-year legal battle between the Pai family and the National Park Service to stay on a five-acre parcel of land. The family says their ancestors have lived and taken care of the land and surrounding fish ponds since the 1700s, before the arrival of Captain Cook. But U.S. District Judge David Ezra last week ordered an eviction after he ruled the family had no legal title to the land. He says the park is for everyone to use and not just a small group of people. The eviction sparked protests from the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, which said it continues to support the family's effort to perpetuate Hawaiian traditions on their homeland. This is Craig DeSilva in Honolulu, Hawaii.
While interested groups wait to see who President Clinton will appoint to a federal study commission on gambling, Native Americans have gotten a surprising show of support from an anti-gambling group. Reverend Tom Gray, executive director of the National Coalition Against Legalized Gambling, says if President Clinton excludes anyone from the study panel, it should be Nevada Gaming Control Board Chairman Bill Bible, not a Native American appointee. Bible is reportedly a favorite for the commission because the gaming industry has lobbied hard for him and given substantial sums and political contributions to the president and the Democratic Party. Gray says in the interest of fairness and diversity, the president should drop Bible rather than a Native American from his list of appointees. Native lawyer Tad Johnson was apparently withdrawn as a potential Clinton appointee after critics complained Johnson was too close to the tribal gaming industry to be objective. Hoping to curb the number of tourists flooding into its community during feast days, a pueblo in New Mexico has decided to stop publicizing the dates of the religious event. Mary Bawani has the story.
Jemez Pueblo recently decided to stop publicizing dates of its two annual feast days. The feast days open to the public have grown increasingly popular with tourists visiting the Southwest, who often book their vacations around area tribes' annual events. Jemez Pueblo maintains a closed village policy for other religious activities, which is important for the community, says Joseph L. Loretto, governor of Jemez.
We don't want too many people roaming around our village, and it's just like, like Disneyland, you know, where people are walking, oh, look at this, oh, look at that. And people can't even enjoy their privacy around our own village, you know.
Jemez Pueblo and other area tribes maintain visitor centers or a tribal administrative office where tourists can obtain information about the tribe and how to conduct themselves when visiting the area. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, I'm Mary Bawani.
This is National Native News. I'm Nellie Moore.
National Native News is a production of Kuwanic Broadcast Corporation with funding by Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, conducting commercial, industrial, and other economic activities to enhance the Inupiaq Eskimos' cultural and economic freedoms. By AT&T Alaskan, your true choice. And by the ARCO Foundation. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
And this is KUAC-FM Fairbanks. Well, we're closing in on the finish of the Yukon Quest. And we are going to go down to the river where Roger Leff and John McWhorter are standing by at the finish line on the Chena River in downtown Fairbanks.
Coverage of the 1997 Yukon Quest is made possible in part by Jeans Chrysler, Interior Alaska's dealer for Chrysler, Plymouth, Dodge, Jeep, and Eagle, and by MAPCO Alaska Petroleum Incorporated, proud to drive great Alaskan traditions like the Yukon Quest.
Live from downtown Fairbanks on the Chena River. I'm John McWhorter here with KUAC-FM and Roger Leff bringing you live coverage of the 1997 Yukon Quest. The church bells have rung about 5 minutes ago. We're expecting a dog team down there in about 10 minutes. We're not exactly sure who that might be. It could be Rick Mackey. He's been ahead since leaving North Pole and since leaving Angel Creek much of the way. But apparently John Schandelmeyer and Mark May are close behind. So we've got very much of a race going on. If people still want to join us down at the finish line, there's still time. Parking is short. You might have to walk a little bit, but come on down and join us. I've got Roger Leff. We're standing here right next to the ice arch. Roger, you've been out here on 14 days of this race. Are you glad to be home?
You know, John, I'm very, very glad to be home. It's Fairbanks is a wonderful place, you know, and it's a wonderful trip to take between Whitehorse and Fairbanks. Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. But I got to tell you, you know, it's been incredible watching these dog drivers throughout this race, especially the front four in the pack. I think everybody who's running this race, you know, have just been doing an amazing job, especially with dog care. I think that's really important to mention right off the top, you know, is that dog care has been one of the most important things that Yukon Quest has been trying to maintain and to try to grow with. And these guys have just been doing an incredible job between the race judges, the race officials, and of course, the veterinary program has just really excelled in dog care. And I think that's really important. Also, again, all the mushers, it's been a really important part for them. So, yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting to see these four guys have been traveling so far together, and they're all going to come in pretty close to each other.
It seems like we definitely have to congratulate the drivers for not pushing ahead and not working their dogs too hard. They've rested quite a lot. They've taken long, long breaks in Circle, in Central. They took 8 hours there. They took 6 hours there at 101 mile, another eight. Typically, dog races, they cut rest toward the end of a race, and we haven't seen that in this, except for this last 100 miles or so from Angel Creek.
That's right, John, you know, and this has been an interesting thing, you know, this whole situation of these guys kind of stopping, waiting for each other, getting lots and lots of rest for their dogs. And as a matter of fact, we've got Will Forsberg here right now to talk about that a little bit because, you know, I mean, this guy is a guy who's been on this trail. He's been on the race. And this is definitely a different race, Will. Hasn't it been than in the past?
Yeah, I think the big difference is just what you're saying. Here we got four teams that are all real experienced. Not to overrun these dogs right off the bat here. And you know, they've been pondering how to run this last 105 miles all the way from Whitehorse. And they did it smart. They kept them rested right at the end, so they're able to run them in here in good shape.
All right, yeah, that's great. You know, and again, watching these folks when they've been out in checkpoints, you know, it's been really interesting because these guys are in no hurry to go, you know. I mean, and all the folks look well-rested. It's been really nice weather-wise, you know. They've been running pretty much at night. They've been just really taking their time to get down the trail. Nobody's been in too much of a hurry. Everybody's been kind of waiting, especially this top four, for each other so that they could all kind of do that final sprint. And Will, what do you think about that? Is that unusual for this race?
Yeah, it is unusual. Usually you have somebody in this race who plays the rabbit, you know, who keeps bouncing out ahead, thinking maybe he'll find a storm. He'll get over the hill and everybody else won't, you know. That storm will hold them back. We haven't had that this year. What we've had is some real interesting interactions between these front four guys who are pretty close friends to begin with. They're able to evaluate each other's teams. I think they've seen that these teams are pretty equal. We've had lots of head trips, guys going out starting to boot up, trying to get the other guys to go, and then going back in. So it's really been a lot of fun.
Well, that's actually kind of a standard part of this race, isn't it, Will, where these guys tend to, I mean, Iditarod probably a little more than the Yukon Quest, but, I mean, isn't that a very big part of the race strategy and how these guys work down the trail?
Yeah, especially as you get closer to the end here and you start trying to get because you want to psychologically save your leaders for the end, you know, when you're going to want to be in front. So it's like last night, we heard them trying to get over Eagle Summit. Nobody wanted to lead up that steep hill because that's tough on your leaders. And they'd go 150 feet, they'd stop, let the next guy come.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's just been a fascinating race to watch, you know. I think all the way probably from Braeburn Lodge, you know, when Mark May was the first guy to kind of bug out of there, he was kind of concerned about all the people who'd be hanging around at Braeburn, and so he blew on by. He didn't travel very far. He just moved on down the trail about 5 or 6 miles, decided to camp outside that area, and that's basically the way the race has been going is these guys have been kind of going outside of the checkpoints and resting for a while and then kind of catching up and then waiting for the other people to come along behind him, and so it's really been a fascinating race to watch.
Well, the reason they've been able to do that really is the good weather we've had. Normally we don't have this above zero so much, so they're able to go out and camp comfortably and not have to go inside at every, you know, little checkpoint and cabin.
All right. Thanks a lot, Will. We really appreciate you being here and spending some time with us. John, so what have you been thinking about? You've been sitting back here in Fairbanks kind of watching the whole scene go on. What do you think about how this race is going?
I'm impressed about the whole weather aspect, to tell you the truth. It's amazing to me to be downtown in Fairbanks at 6 o'clock and in the heat. It's almost above freezing down here, and that sort of characterizes the whole race, that the weather has been pleasant. I'm kind of amazed that there were no big stories to come out of here. We did have two dogs die. That was kind of a download point of this whole thing, but that's part of dog racing. But nobody got injured. Nobody fell through the ice. Nobody fell off any mountaintops. Pretty amazing that there wasn't any of that going on.
Well, you know, John, you've been on this race, what, 4 or 5 times, man, and so you understand. I mean, you've seen these guys as they come into different checkpoints along the way. You see how burned out they get. I mean, how much energy it takes just to really get just down the trail. And this one has really been something, I got to tell you. This year, compared to last year, the first year that I won this trail, you know, I mean, everybody was really beat up by the time that they got down to even, you know, Carmack's. I mean, or actually, you know, the other way, coming like by the time they got to
even Dawson,
to Angel Creek, even, you know, they'd already run into a bunch of overflow. The weather was getting cold, and by the time they got to Circle, the weather was really intense. We haven't had any of that on this race. It's been really extremely low key.
I agree, and I think people are proud for it. I see a lot of people down here. There's all kinds of dogs. The whole crew is down here. It's a pretty neat event. You know, one of the things about this race is always funny to me how the old is going to end a little early when it doesn't end. And, you know, we called it today at 2:30, and then it's 4:30, then it's 5:30. So you never know when this race is going to end, but it looks like we're getting close. And I'm saying Rick Mackey is coming down here shortly. He's been sighted just up the river. So we'll be walking him in here, and we'll get some time with him.
Yeah, I think we will. It's been an incredible race, John. These four mushers have been spending the last 2 weeks with each other, basically, you know, just kind of hanging out, spending time just kind of talking about the strategy, talking about, you know, hanging out, talking about a lot of different things just as the trail race has been going down. So, yeah, it's really fascinating to see that all four of these guys have come in so close to each other. Sounds like Rick is actually getting very, very close here. Maybe we're less than a mile before he gets to the finish line. And I got to tell you, watching Rick Mackey during this race has been a real pleasure. Here's a guy who, outside of Dawson, he lost force, decided that he had to take care of business and that he had to make up time, not by not resting his dogs, which is probably the most important thing that a musher can do on this whole trail, is keeping their dogs well rested, and that's really extremely important quality time for these dogs. So what he did instead, at least when I talked to him along the trail, he said that his plan was basically in order to cut short his little break times, which maybe he'd stop normally for a half an hour and snack his dogs and kind of hang out and just kind of regroup and stuff. He said he was going to break that time down to maybe 10 minutes. Maybe he'd take 5 minutes to snack those dogs and then move on right down the line. So this, of course, you know, it didn't make a big difference in terms of the dogs getting enough rest that they needed. He actually was spending more time at checkpoints in order to recoup his energy in order to get those dogs moving down the line. I think it's just been just tremendous the way that this guy has picked up the pace in this race.
You know, I'm kind of curious about how their attitudes changed. Now, you caught him out at Angel Creek last night. Typically, Rick Mackey's a very talkative guy, always up, always has something to say. And John Standemeyer comes in and out of being available that way. John Standemeyer was a talkative one, and Rick Mackey was quiet. I'm kind of curious what you thought maybe was going on in his mind.
Well, you know, John, I think that he was thinking a lot about winning this race. You know, I mean, last year he came in here as a rookie. He was running his first Yukon Quest, and this is a very different race. You know, of course, he's run the Iditarod 18 times, so he's got that trail pretty much down. He knows what's going on. Last year was a real learning experience for Rick, and he decided that, boy, he was going to come right back. He was the first musher to sign up for the Quest this year. And, I mean, it was a big priority for him to come back and to really do the best he could in order to win this race. And it looks like maybe he might pull this one off. And so I think it's just really an amazing feat.
I think at this point he's going to have to fall through the river to lose this race. But
Things could happen,
things
John.
Things could still happen. People have lost races by 1 second.
Absolutely. And again, I think that's what people were really thinking as these guys all headed into Angel Creek. We've been waiting and waiting all the way from Dawson for these folks to kind of spread out and to be a couple hours, you know, between the front runner and the fourth musher who was in this pack, this gang of four, as we've been calling them. And, you know, and it just didn't happen. These guys just kept on moving along together. They would rest with each other. They would make sure that everybody was being kind of taken care of business. They got plenty of rest for their dogs. And again, I can't say that enough times, John. I think that was the key to this whole race, was that these folks were just caring for their dogs, and they were just waiting and taking time, you know.
Now, sometimes this has been a 10-day race when people have pushed ahead. Often it goes a little longer, but this year we're at 12 or 13 days. And I think a lot of that is that they ran fast, but then they stopped a long time. So I'm wondering if we're going to see that as a kind of a way of going out through the future. And it really is a more beneficial for the dogs to be able to do that, to get good rest on straw and then recover that way.
You know, that's really interesting, John, you know, that you mentioned that, because just last night when I was at mile 101, actually yesterday afternoon, I was sitting listening to these four front runners talking, you know, and John Schandlemeyer mentioned that he thought it would be a really great idea, or just as a possible option for this to almost turn into a stage kind of race, meaning that all the mushers would travel a certain amount of time, they'd have a certain amount of time to get to the checkpoint, and then they would all rest and start again the next day, you know, as far as different times out and stuff. And rather than make, they don't want to make this a big fast race. They don't want to see dogs get hurt in the process of this race. They don't want to see people pushing their dogs and wearing their dogs out. What's more important, especially to this front four and all the vet crew here and all the race officials, is that the dogs come to Fairbanks or to Whitehorse, whichever way they're going, in the best condition possible.
And to have a good time doing it.
Absolutely.
It seemed,
you know,
like there was a lot of fun going on out there. You know, Frank Turner would come in and he'd kind of harass people about how he could go faster if he had a team of cats in front of these guys. And he would just ride on them. Talk a little bit about the kind of the different personalities. You've got Rick out there, and somebody was saying everybody knew Rick Mackey was coming into a checkpoint when they saw a little red light hanging out under his headlamp. And he's the only guy out there with a cigarette. And, you know, he just had that kind of casual attitude coming in.
Well, that's Rick's style, you know, it really is. And, you know, he's so happy to be out on the trail, as are any of these mushers. And he's not quite as serious, you know. I think he'd come into a checkpoint, the guy would be dead tired, but he would always spend a lot of time just talking to different media folks and just kind of filling people in on how he's feeling, how the race has been going for him, you know, and what his plans were. Other folks like John Schandlemeyer, he's kind of a different kettle of fish here, you know. John is a very serious dog driver. I mean, he has a good time out on the trail. He would talk to the folks, but he would take a very short period of time, you know. He always maximized his time. He spent the most of the time with his dogs, taking care of his dogs, you know, and so, you know, everybody had a different style out there, but I got to tell you, the whole way on this whole race, I haven't met a musher who was really bummed out about how things were going. Even if they were having troubles with sick dogs, if they weren't feeling well themselves, and there was a lot of sickness in between mushers and race officials and even media
and
on this race, I have to say.
Everybody had the flu.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, I mean, these mushers, no matter how bad they were feeling or, you know, whatever the situation, they were always just really, really happy to be on the trail, and they were just having a great time. I mean, that was the most important thing about it.
You know, a big part of this is half the people in the race were rookies. And, I want to recount a couple of those rookies, like Terry Asbury, who he saved up vacation for 5 years at his job to come up here and run dogs. He ran his race down in Montana, down the lower 48, and then came up here in December and put his team together. And, you know, he wanted to do the Sergeant Preston through the wilderness, and he didn't do it. I mean, he got 500 miles, which is quite a credit for anybody.
That's an amazing
feat. But he wasn't
feat.
Able to compete the race, and that's kind of sad, I guess.
Well, you know, it is. And I think, you know, Terry has been training in lots of different areas. He's done a lot of races in the Michigan area. He's trained up as far as Labrador. He's been all over, you know. He's been out to Montana and done a couple of 200-mile races. The guy's been around as far as lower 48 mushers are concerned. But I got to tell you, the guy just didn't have a clue. And nobody can have a clue as to how intense this race and the process really is until they get out on the trail. You talk to any rookie out there, and I talked to all of them as the race was progressing, and these guys just didn't have an idea, not an idea, of how difficult this it was going to be just to maintain their dogs and maintain themselves as well and get down the trail. So Terry did a heck of a job. He did a fantastic job. He ran into some problems, but he did the right thing, you know, by scratching, because he just he just knew that it was better for his dogs to stop at Dawson City.
All right, we've got a report that Rick Mackey is right outside Wendell Street Bridge. That's like a quarter mile up the trail there. So looks like you better get in place to get in there and get him, and we'll stay in communication as well as we can. We've been having a few technical difficulties with our microphones here. We've got these little transmitters sitting up on a garbage can. Only in Fairbanks can you put transmitters on a garbage can, but we're trying to keep that together as close as we can.
Well, you know, John, we've got a great crowd down here this afternoon. I mean, people have been waiting for several hours for the first musher to come in. It's a very exciting time, of course, here in Fairbanks, and people are having a great time. The weather is beautiful. It's just been a really nice race. It's been really warm, and this seems extremely appropriate that this is a really wonderful way. I hear someone saying it's cold, but it's not that cold. It's actually quite warm. It's been a beautiful, beautiful race, and like I said, a beautiful way to end this race, to have it actually almost quite balmy down here. And now I think we've got Rick not quite into the chute yet, but everybody's waiting. They're pretty excited.
All right. We've got the warnings from the folks up on the hill there, asking people to move away from the chute. We've got all the officials crowding in with their red coats. We've got a host of vets standing ready to check out the team and give a look. I'm sure the dogs are going to be doing just fine. And, you know, I want to remind people that just because Rick Mackey's coming in now, it doesn't mean that this race is anywhere close to over. The first place will go, of course, to him. But for the next probably week, we're going to have people in here. I know Ralph Zielinski is just out of Eagle. He's got half of a race to go still. So all week long, there will be people coming in. And there's nothing more encouraging to somebody to come into town after running 1,000 or more miles and see anybody coming in here just to say hi.
Yeah, it's fantastic, you know. And again, these guys were a little concerned, you know, especially this four front runners. I got a chance to talk to these guys at several different occasions, and they were extremely concerned about running through an extra 20, 25 miles of what we might call suburbia. These guys have been running in the wilderness for the last couple of weeks, and so this is a big deal for them to have to come through this extra length of trail. Evidently, it hasn't slowed them down, though. They've all done really, really well. It looks like Rick is coming down the trail right now. Everybody's pretty excited. They are applauding profusely. I mean, this is a very exciting time.
There must be 1,000 people or more down here. It's I haven't seen a turnout like this in the times I've been doing this. We'll just
Well, John, let's just listen to the folks as they bring in our 1997 winner, Mr. Rick Mackey from Nenana.
You bet.
We have a winner in the 1997 Yukon Quest. Rick is right now being congratulated by his family, his wife Patty, his daughter Brenda, and his little son Roland, and as well as his father Dick Mackey and his mother Kathy. Everybody's been following him all the way down the race trail. Everybody's extremely proud and very, very happy that Rick has won this race. He's worked very hard for it, and the guy deserves the win. You just got to say, huh, John?
I'd say so. You know, he's done the work, and this is his 20th race. I think that's a pretty nice way to commemorate finishing 20,000 mile or more races. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive effort on anybody's part. Rick's time in here, 12 days, 5 hours. Some change, 50 minutes or something like that, pretty close. Pretty impressive effort.
You know, actually, right now, John, I'd like to talk with Chris Talbot real quick since he's here. And Chris, now you've been following the race. What do you think of the way that things been going?
They've been going fine. It's actually been a heck of a race here at the end with lots of jockeying around. And are we actually on the air? Here we are. Okay. With lots of jockeying around, a four-man sprint to the finish is so unusual. And I've enjoyed it quite a bit. It's you can't ask for, you know, four better stories, four better guys, I think, you know, and they're all top dog drivers in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one thing that we've had both of us had a chance to check out as we've been going down the trail. I think it's been really amazing. These guys have been having a heck of a time out there together, haven't they?
Yeah, well, we got to sit in the cabin with them at 101, mile 101 yesterday, and they were sitting around and joking and telling stories on each other, and I don't think you see that a whole lot in dog racing. You know, it was just a pleasure to cover.
All right, thanks a lot, Chris, and I know that you had a good time on the trail. I've had a good time as well. And so, again, we're just really happy that we've got a dog driver in here. I got to tell you, John, quite frankly, I'm real happy. I thought that maybe these guys wouldn't get in until almost midnight, and I might get a little sleep tonight, John.
I'm sure you're looking forward to that. You know, something that people don't really realize is that everybody on the race is pulling long, long days. You sleep on your pool tables, you sleep on picnic tables any chance you get. You're dealing with illness out there. You're dealing with a diet that you're probably not used to. It's burgers and fries, and not everybody eats that way, that's for sure. And I'm standing here in a sea of people that are just kind of, I feel like I'm in a salmon stream, in a big salmon stream. Everybody's going upstream, and geez, I hope they don't spawn right here.
Well, once again, Rick is just being congratulated by several different folks here, including Quest winner Bill Cotter. He just went and congratulated Rick and gave him a big handshake. Dick Mackey is out in front of, I believe, Leon. It might be running in lead, though I'm not absolutely sure. Leon is a dog that has been spent an awful lot of really important time here in Rick's team. And right now, there is like a media frenzy trying to get to this guy. We're going to see if we can talk to Rick for just a little bit.
Hopefully, he'll be right down. I know, you know, there were a lot of media on this race, especially in Whitehorse. There was a flood of people. And some of the fears that the Quest had about being able to manage all those people didn't really come through. And I think everybody's probably pretty glad for that.
Well, John, actually, I'm going to try to squeeze my microphone in here and see if we can hear a little bit about what Rick has to say.
You bet.
Well, I was able to get about 5 minutes an hour on him yesterday.
Whoa, the ice on the river is just cracked, so that checked everybody up there.
All right, one more, please.
Okay, we're gonna get out of the way here so Rick can take care of his dog team.
You know, it's pretty strange. Everybody was kind of wondering how many people that this river would hold. And I don't think it's a problem. There's plenty of water under this ice, and that shouldn't just hold the ice up. I don't think there's a big problem, but that was pretty interesting. Roger, tell us what's going on now. Is he taking care of his dogs there?
Well, right now I think it's just such a media frenzy here, John, that he's just trying to make sure that his dogs aren't getting stomped on. The race officials are really spending a lot of time here just kind of waving people away and making sure that, you know, these dogs have just gone over 1,000 miles, and they're pretty darn happy to be at the end of the race, and we just want to make sure that that nobody gets hurt in the process. I mean, people tend to get a little wound up and kind of almost out of control.
Okay, I've lost my signal, so you'll have to. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Anyway, so you know, Rick is pretty ecstatic here at this point in time. He's just kind of hanging out, taking it easy, and he's just wanting to get his dogs settled and taken care of. Okay, we're going to walk over here, John, and see real quick if we can talk to Rick for just a minute or two. This is really quite an affair.
Looks like the cameras are starting to gather around him. And it's not really the best place to interview, but go ahead.
Well, I just knew a lot more what I was doing, for one thing. You know, last year I went along to see the trail and kind of see how how the Quest was ran, you know, where all the cabins were and all that. I just had a better knowledge of the trail, I guess, this year, so I could figure things out, especially with getting way behind there before Dawson. If I hadn't known the trail, I certainly wouldn't have had a chance, because, you know, I really had to plan it out. It took days to pull it off. You can't just go do it, but... So I don't know. I think just knowing the kind of sled you need and equipment, you know, it's a little different from Iditarod. And so, and yeah, I was a rookie last year.
What's the most difficult
design by Wendy Royal?
The most difficult? I don't know. It's a pretty darn tough race. We've been up over lots of big mountains and lots of that pack ice, big old things ice. You're just weaving through for miles and miles, and then there was a lot of glare ice over by Biedermann's. It's all just all tough.
So, Rick, it was a lot of fun probably traveling with those other three guys on the trail. Now, I mean, was that unusual for a race that you've done in the past?
Well, we all got along real good, you know. It was a good group to travel with. We had a lot of fun. It was a nice race. The weather was very good. It was never cold. It was, you know, a little bit too hot for the dogs sometimes, but until today we were able just to camp during the heat of the day. But
I took a nap for about 4.5 hours or so. I got behind.
And before that, John and I, we were real close. You know, we were setting the pace of the race and keeping it where we wanted to, you know, build our dogs up. We didn't really run them hard at all leading up to the 36. And with Mark and Frank and those guys, they were content to take good care of their dogs too. So we didn't really get any rabbit out there sitting, you know, on this real blistering pace. So that worked out real well. And like I say, John and I had the two strongest teams until I got behind it going into Dawson. And so then I was playing catch up for the next 3 days or so. And when I caught up with him, Mark's team had gained quite a bit of strength, and John, he was having a bit of problems, but it worked well for me being alone, actually. You know, it was a costly nap, as far as I had to work awful hard for that 4 hours to get it back, but it worked well. If we would have just stuck together, we would have kept running one guy's plan. That's the thing. You end up running... Mostly, well, we were running John's plan, is what it amounted to, and stopping where he suggested, you know, and we were content to do that, because, and then racing the end, for me to be able to, I think, get my team up, you know, because I could go the distances and take the rest that I needed, not that the group needed.
What are you doing tonight? Are you preparing for this?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty darn hungry, though. Yeah, somebody told me that. I banged into quite a few willows with some overflow. When I left Angel Creek, within the first half a mile, I was in water up to my knees. My feet have been wet all day, and so it was the craziest takeoff. And in fact, them guys caught me once. I mean, they caught me within a few minutes. I could see them there, but I got away from them going down to the highway, and then I knew it was going to be getting kind of warm by the time we got to Pleasant Valley. So my plan was to just make as good a time as I could, you know, while it was still dark and that 35-mile stretch, and get as much time on them as I could, because later this afternoon we're all going the same speed because, you know, it was too sunny out. All the dogs were going about 7 miles an hour. Where this morning I was getting them about 12 out of them, and I knew, well, the way it's been the last 3 days or so, John and them guys are doing about 10 at best, so it was, yeah, it was get it this morning, and hope the heck they don't somehow get you this afternoon, but, oh, it was a lot of fun. They're good guys to race with.
We'd like you to come on out and,
yeah, about 10 minutes ago.
Congratulate Rick.
Maybe 5.
Last year, I think you said that you were
and celebrate with us all.
No,
all right, we're going to have a nose-to-nose.
Well, I don't know.
Place.
We'll see how it goes.
Quite a bit of jockeying going on right now. All the mushers are running again.
Well, it was a good experience for you overall, Rick. I mean, again, lad, you're the first guy to sign up for the race this year. Obviously,
that's right.
You're hungry for this one.
Yeah.
So it was a good deal for you?
It was a real good race. You know, I thought I had totally blown it there when I didn't wake up there at Grandview. So that was, a lot of work and effort. Like I said, it's been a whole year getting ready for it and planning it, and then I have to go and take a nap. So I was really mad at myself, but I don't know. Maybe it worked out. It must have worked out for the best. I'm here first.
Well, when I talked to Nigel, you talked about that a lot. You talked about the races that you've always won have been from you catching up, and always coming from behind.
Right.
Was that?
But I planned it those times. This is my 20,000 mile race, and really, that's I think what gave me the experience to do that, and also from other course races, from getting behind for whatever reason and catching them or planning it. It was fun. It was a lot of hard work, because there was a lot of times I wasn't so sure I was going to do anything better than fourth, even when I did catch them. You have to have a better when you catch them, so you can't be wearing them out. And so that was even, more work with the dogs, just not letting a hair get out of place hardly, And I still had 13 when I caught them, so I didn't wear them out a bit. I built them up, and in fact, I knew I had to. There wasn't going to be any sense in catching them and still come in fourth. I might as well, So that was, it was a challenge, that's for sure. And two of them dogs are only 17 months old. One of them just finished with me. Real, real good young dogs.
Rick, now that you've won both the Iditarod and the Peak, can you compare that at all? Is this feeling as great as the Iditarod, or is it totally different for you?
Well, I don't know. This is, of course, a lot newer. I won the Iditarod back in 83, and so that's been a while. But, this means a lot to me. There's a lot of people in town here and everything that back me and all, and help me, and this is the one we've been working on for a couple years, actually. I've been thinking about it for longer than that, and looking at the trail and that kind of thing.
Maybe even more satisfying than the Iditarod thing?
I don't know. Any race I win feels pretty good. But
hey, let's talk about your dogs, man. I mean, these are the guys who are the real winners in this race, huh? Who are the big ones? Who are the main guys?
Well, it's... This team is, like I say, there's 17-month-old pups in there and two 10-year-old lead dogs. And Leon, my 10-year-old leader there, he just came across the finish line. I absolutely couldn't have done it at all without him. He's especially out on that glare ice, he was the only one that would get me through. And it was a full moon, so my headlight really wasn't working. It was real minimum marked. And, we wound around a bit, but at least he would gee and haw where I told him to, And then I had a real nice group of younger leaders, too. Two of them finished, and I guess dropped two more back at North Pole. I had about eight leaders in the team, so that was a big plus. I rotated them around. I used at least three a day. And so they were always pretty fresh on the leading part of it. And my sled didn't break. I was worried about that going through that pack ice. Boy, I always carried a big load, too. I had a way bigger load than them guys. So I was always saying, I got to figure this out for next year. John's got a little 5-foot sled. I got a 6.5-foot. And it was always full. They were calling my sled a boat. How'd you get that boat through there, Mark May said. It wasn't easy.
Is the difference from last year and this year just fine-tuning for you?
Oh, no, I wasn't really prepared for it last year. I just went out there to see what the trail was like. You hear stories and you never know till you go look at it. And the hills, I came back last year saying those aren't hills, they're mountains. And it snowed a lot last year, and so the trail was slower. But you have to train different. You have to, I think, for the Quest, a lot of races like the Cusco or the Copper Basin, Iditarod, those are all pretty fast races, and there's hills, of course, but not like the mountains over there in the Black Hills in the Yukon and stuff. Those are some mountains. I mean, we don't even have any here. You do some real big, serious climbs, and so you need dogs that are, you have to train them to, if you're going to ask them to do that, you have to train them to do it. And So that's what we did more, hill training, and I was going to take bigger male dogs, but it didn't work out. I ended up with smaller dogs this year, but they were good pullers. We were going up Eagle Summit yesterday, and my dogs were trying to pass John up, and I didn't want them to, right? So the summit, you know, but goofy leaders are up beside of his head, and he's pushing them. I mean, it was, if you stop, you can't hold your sled. It's so icy this year. He said he's never seen it so bad, and it's just like glare ice. And Frank's dogs had turned around and went back down, which just about made the rest of ours. So it was, I couldn't believe how good they were in the hills. I mean, I was concerned about making it up and over that hill, and like I say, I'm passing people up. It was, I don't know. We'll see what happens next year.
Sounds like Leon.
He's the man.
All right.
That's Rick.
Hey, media, let me tell you.
Okay, folks, there we have it. We just had a nice long conversation with our 1997 Yukon Quest winner, Rick Mackey. John, what do you think so far here, buddy?
I think it's been a terrific race, and I'm really glad to see the turnout here. It's, the crowd's considerably thin, but I'm sure it'll be back again for when Frank Turner and John Chandelmeyer and Mark May come in. They should be in soon. It'll be dark then, but there'll be plenty of interest down here to come see.
You know, John, I think, again, I have to reiterate what Mark May said to me last night at Angel Creek, and he said this as well at mile 101. He said, you know, we've been having so much fun on this race. I wish it was about a week longer, and I wish that there didn't have to be a winner because, I mean, all these guys are such tremendous dog drivers. And, again, I have to say I think every single person who has attempted to run this race has to be a tremendous dog driver before they even get to the starting line. I think that's really important.
You know, it's just a pretty scary thing to think about coming out here with these dogs. You know, you train, but things come up that you don't always know how to handle. So you've got to be really resourceful to be able to take care of that. And you've got to be able to just keep things together for when the unexpected happens. This year, there wasn't much unexpected except maybe the flu. And that's probably one of the hardest things to deal with because when you're sick, your attitude gets down, your dogs start to sense that, and things can fall apart pretty quickly there for you. So anybody who's run this race deserves an award for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of sickness, you know, Rick was one of these guys who caught the flu when he got into Whitehorse. He was so sick, he told me, by the time he got to Braeburn, he said that he was so sick when he left the starting line that he could barely hang on to his sled. And it took him about 2 or 3 days to even hold any food down or anything. I mean, the guy was just, like, really ill. But, again, the most important thing was he was taking care of his dogs all the time, which is pretty obvious because he came in here first. And that's what this race is all about, is dog care.
All right. Well, we're going to say goodbye to Rick Mackey and the Yukon Quest here. We'll remind listeners that we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock with a report on Rick and the other finishers. Please come down and say hi to them. There's still plenty of racing going on, and there's going to be quite a race for folks coming in here. Second and third and fourth spot is still contested. It should be very interesting. We're going to cut away. Remind people to come back to us tomorrow, Saturday at 9 o'clock and 4 p.m. We'll also be back Monday morning at 8:20 and at 8:50 with a special guest. Will be plenty of race coverage left to go. My name is John McWhorter. I'm here with Roger Leff. We'll go back to the studio now and thank everyone for tuning in.
Coverage of the 1997 Yukon Quest is made possible in part by Cold Spot Feeds, providing sled dog equipment and supplies for everyone, plus premium dog foods, homeopathic remedies, and helpful information about your animals. Cold Spot Feeds, 1 mile up the Steese Highway on Farmers Loop Road, 457-8555. And by Westmark Hotels, the business traveler's address in Alaska and the Yukon, 1-800-544-0970.
And that concludes our live coverage down on the Chena River. Rick Mackey, the winner of the 1997 Yukon Quest. We'll resume with our regular programming and join the last half hour of All Things Considered in Progress. And you can stay tuned through the weekend and into the beginning of next week for updated reports on the Yukon Quest.
Because they were nationalists. There's a great, great fear in working class nationalist areas that if there's a full-scale return to IRA violence, that those days may return for them. So I think there is pressure on both sides, on the Republican movement, to think very carefully before stepping their campaign up a gear.
David Davin Power, thank you very much for talking with us.
Always a pleasure.
David Davin Power of RTE, Irish Radio and Television, spoke to us from Belfast.